who's concerned about what they're going to wear, where they're going to live, what they're going to eat, how they're going to take care of their family, I want us to just thank God right now. He couldn't make it any more plain. The lilies are one of the most decorated flowers of God's creation. God is telling us that He will dress us and take care of us. Amen? And during these 21 days, we are dominating through our words. So let's just agree with God right now in your private time. Father, I just thank you. I praise you. God, I'm not concerned about what I'm going to wear. I'm not concerned about how I'm going to feed my kids. God, because you are Jehovah Jireh, you are our provider. Come on, say, God, you're my provider. You're my provider. Let's pray in the spirit for a minute. I can't hear y'all. Father, we pray for breakthroughs in finances, breakthrough in provision in the name of Jesus. Breakthrough, 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 breakthrough. Seka ba suto bo bo shehedi isa. Eston doro bo shi bro ka ba saba. Histon boro bo she. God, we say we are worth more than the lilies. More than the lilies. Hallelujah. More than a sparrow. Kison doro. We're made in your image, God. We're made after your likeness. Kison doro bo shi bra ba ke se be do bo se ha. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Jireh. Tell somebody, God, Jehovah Jireh, is enough for you and me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Won't y'all hug two or three people? Hug two or three people. Tell them you're glad to see them. Tell them you look forward to great things. Kito dorobo shigire bison dorobo. You are enough. Good job, Bianca. Go ahead, girl. Before I forget, I want us to show some for us to show some love to audio and video. The ones you don't see, but you know they're doing something. Amen. Praise the Lord. And they do it cheerfully, I think. Right, y'all? Amen. Praise God. So thank you so much for serving and being faithful. Amen. We couldn't do this without you. And let's give the praise team and the worship band and Andrew a hand. Praise the Lord. Good job. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, how are y'all doing? Week one. Amen. It's over with. We made it through. It was no problem. No problem, right? That's what we should be saying. No problem. Somebody just told me yesterday, she said, because I get a salty tooth as well. And she said she had was looking at a bag of Smart Pop, I think this was called, because she just had a salty tooth, but she said she just threw the bag down. So good for her. Amen? What's the matter? That's not y'all's testimony? Y'all didn't throw the bag down. You opened it up. Minister Sheila, I know you said you wanted to share a testimony. Of course, you weren't ready today. Surprise, you still have one, right? Okay. All right, as long as you still have it, let's hear what God is doing. Amen. God's always doing something. We just got to pay attention.
Amen. So earlier this year, I got laid off from my job. I'm an HR manager. And
I found a job.
He's going to turn her up in a minute, right?
Hmm?
James going to turn her up in a minute.
Oh, okay. So it was about 2 months before I found a temporary position, which was a long-term temporary position. But when I went in, I decided I wasn't going to treat it like it was a temp position. I was filling in for someone who was out on maternity leave. So I just started acting like I owned it. And I started planning and, you know, helping supervisors and training people. And they kept saying, well, I hope you're going to stay. And I kept saying, well, the young lady's going to come back. And they kept on saying, I hope you're going to stay. Well, long story short, when the young lady did come back, she came back for a couple days and she said, I don't want to be here anymore. So she left. So they were talking about offering me a full-time position, but then they decided to reorganize the whole HR for the whole company. And there's about 30,000 people in the whole company. It's worldwide. So they just kept extending and kept extending and kept extending me. But long story short, they then did the reorganization, and there were four positions available and five of us, but I'm still a temp. So they said to me, well, you can't apply for the position because you're not a permanent person. So I said, okay. So I didn't officially apply, but what I did was I sent an email to the person who was reviewing the applications, and I said, I realize I'm a contractor. I said, but if there are any openings after you place everyone, please consider me. And so they said they would. So they actually called me up. The manager called me up. The director called me up and said, look, hopefully you apply for that position. So what they did was out of the five positions, they filled up three of them. One was me, who was a temp, and they moved out a person who was permanent. And so I just thank God for his faithfulness and how he will always take care of us. Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Promotion comes from the Lord, right? Not from the north, south, east, or the west. Promotion comes from the Lord. So God knows how to, he knows what to do and he knows how to do it. Amen? And that's why we have to have faith, all right? So there's one scripture in particular I'm excited about getting to tie in with that. But he's our Father. And we can act like we're all his favorite. Amen. We're all his sons and daughters. He's no respecter of person, but he is a respecter of faith. You know, I heard years ago that God honors faith. Now, of course, he's a faith God, but God honors faith because faith honors God. Let me say that again. God honors our faith because our faith honors God. All right? So, all right, you ready to get into the word? I'm going to try to preach short. Pray for me. I don't know what happens. All right. Lift your Bibles, your iPads, cell phones. Y'all good? Yes. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. Say, this is the Bible. It is the Word of God. I am, therefore, what it says I am. And I can do what the Word of God says I can do. And I can have what the Word of God says I can have. Say, it will lift me up out of darkness into the light, out of sickness into health, out of poverty into wealth. Somebody say, this day, after hearing and receiving the ever-living, the everlasting Word of God, I will never be the same again. Never, 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 never. Never, ever, ever, ever will I be the same again. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. I just wanted to encourage you today, amen, as we're praying and fasting, and so that's what our focus is. So if you came to hear something else, you're not, because this is what we're talking about. Amen? So let's go to Colossians chapter 1.
Colossians chapter 1 and verse 4. This is the Amplified. Now, this doesn't, this isn't tied in or directly, indirectly, to tithing and fasting. Well, it is. It's all connected. So let's read that together. For we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus. Now, how does he describe faith? The leaning, I want us to like memorize this, okay? Or at least keep going to it, so that we know what faith is. The just shall live by their faith, right? That's what we live by. And so we need it. And the scripture says that so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by what? The word of God. The word of God is where we get our faith. Amen? That's why we need to read it. That's why we need to repeat it, recite it, memorize it. Because faith is, okay, sorry, you can put it back up. Faith is, he's expounding on faith. Faith is the leaning of your entire human personality. You see that? The leaning of your part of you, part of your personality, part of your life. The leaning of your entire human personality on him in absolute trust. Somebody say absolute trust. That's what we put our faith on. It's absolute trust. We have to tell the person next to you, you have to have absolute truth. Absolute trust in God. Absolute trust and confidence in his power. Absolute trust and confidence in his wisdom. Okay, so that's why let God be true and everybody else is a liar. If there's a fight between what your friend says and what God says, go with God. Amen? If it's different. So, and faith means absolute trust and confidence in his goodness. Somebody say, God is good. No matter what bad is happening, no matter what you think God should have done, how God should have interfered, or anything of the kind, or what's going on in your life, God is good. That's the bottom line. So that will keep us from being stumped, from being going backwards. When we rely our entire personality on trusting that God is good and trusting in his wisdom. Amen? Did we finish? No. And of the love, this is in addition to he heard of their faith, and of the love which you have and show for all the saints. That is your definition of faith that you need to stick with. Okay? I'm always trying to describe what faith is in one way or another. But that one is good. You can't go wrong with that one. Amen? We call it trust and, you know, different things like that, belief. And it's all that too. But that, us leaning our entire human personality on God and what he has said. Amen? And faith comes by hearing. Our trust comes by hearing. Okay? All right. Somebody say amen. Amen. All right. So today I just wanted to share. Actually, I'm going to be sharing. I would highly recommend, even if you can't get it before the fast ends, you can. But I was given this book. I call them the sisters. Willette, Zephanie, Joan, and Constance. Anyway, it's their brother-in-law's pastor, I think, right? Yeah, wrote the book. But it's called The Secret Laws of Prayer. And this thing was really blessing me. It just, you know, every time we go through the prayer and fast or when I want to know about praying, you can learn different things. But this book is, it's simple to read. I like simple to read books. And so this is a good book. It's called The Secret Laws of Prayer, Your Keys to Breakthrough by Derek Schneider. Derek Schneider. So, all right. I highly recommend you get this book. It's got a whole lot of stuff in there. All right? But let's go to Acts chapter 4 and verse 13. This is my emphasis today. We're praying and fasting. We're exercising our spiritual activities. We're praying more. We're spending more time with God. Before we go there, actually, I want to remind you some things. We're fasting and we're praying to spend more time in God's presence. Is that right? Somebody say amen. We are fasting from certain foods. We are fasting from entertainment. We are fasting, fasting those things that we enjoy, that we deprive ourselves of right now, so that we're fasting on those things, the natural things, so that we can feast on the Word of God. Somebody say fasting, and then feasting. So what do you do when you're bored? What do you do after you throw away the bag of popcorn? You feast. So we should be spending time feasting. Anybody know what feast means? It means to eat a lot. So we should be feasting on the Word of God and the presence of God. Somebody say amen. Amen. All right. Is it just me or y'all sound quiet? Sometimes when air conditioning goes off, it sounds like super quiet. As they say, I can hear a pin drop. Amen? So, but we'll get to where we're going. Let's look at Acts chapter 4 and verse 13. Acts chapter 4 and verse 13. And we're going to read in the New King James Version, and then we're going to switch to the Passion Translation. It says, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, these were people in high positions in the city that they were in. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled. And read the last line with me. And they realized that they had been with Jesus. My message today is until people can see that we've been with Jesus, then we need to do some more. Right? People need to see. People need to look at us, talk with us, be with us, and know that we have been with the Lord. Is anybody in agreement with that? We don't want people to know we've been in the presence of football or basketball, right? Or some restaurant or something. We are at a place because, again, we're not playing. Is anybody here playing? Anybody here in church? You're just here in church to check off your to-do list for today? That's not why we come to church. We should come to fellowship. We should come to bless people. We should come to learn and get involved, amen, and to grow. And so we're not just here just as an activity, one thing that we did on Sunday, right? Do y'all agree? You came here for something. And so we're not here to play around. Why be saved if we can't tell and nobody else can tell that we're saved? So during these 21 days, or what's 14 is left, we need to focus and we need to concentrate on spending enough time with the Lord, spending enough time in the Word, that people will begin to see that we've been with the Lord. Anybody down with that? How many of you believe that should be the case? Not just 21 days of fasting, every day as believers. We've talked many times about how, as Christians, we shouldn't look like the next person. People should be able to tell that we're born again. People should be able to tell that we're different. People should be able to tell that we've got more power than them or somebody else. So people should be able to tell that we've been with Jesus. Now, Jesus is not here in the flesh, right? So that means the way that we spend time with Jesus is how? Is in prayer. We spend time with Jesus in prayer. We spend time with Jesus being quiet. We spend time with Jesus by praising him and worshiping him and thanking him and being grateful and reminding him of his goodness and for all his blessings. We spend time with him, conversing with him. We talk to him, he talks to us. And some of us need to get to the point where he does more talking than we do, right? Some people like to talk a lot, but we need to be quiet so that we can hear what the Lord is saying. And the Lord is always speaking. But the reason why we don't hear is that we're not sensitive to the voice of the Holy Spirit. So during this fast, time of fasting and praying, right? It gets other things out of the way so that more spiritual activity can happen in us. So that means we can hear God better, right? And we can speak the word of God better. We read our scriptures more. So fasting helps to boost what God wants to do in our lives. Are you in agreement with that? So it's not just for nothing. And I pray that everybody is participating. Amen? Praise God. Let somebody say, I hope that's you. So, again, my main point, we want to get to a place where people know by looking at us, by seeing what we do. They had just healed a crippled man, right? And then let's read, did we read the Passion Translation? Both? Okay, let's read the Passion Translation of verse 13 and 14. It says, the council members were astonished as they witnessed the bold courage of Peter and John. How many of you know, as we pray and fast, that we too can increase in courage and boldness, right? The council members were astonished as they witnessed the bold courage of Peter and John, especially when they discovered that they were just ordinary men who had never had religious training. Okay, y'all? All right? So you don't have to have a degree. You don't have to have gone to seminary, you know? They looked at these men, Peter and John, who were healing, just did a miracle. They discovered that they were just ordinary men who had never had religious training. Then they began to understand the effect Jesus had on them simply by spending time with him. Standing there with them was the healed man, and there was nothing further they could say. Amen? You got somebody at work. Doesn't like you. They have a pain in their body. They're having financial trouble. You ask them, do they want prayer? They might, with their grumpy selves, say, sure. And then you pray with them in faith, right? With your whole human personality, relying on the trustworthiness and the goodness and the wisdom of God, right? See, this is how we're supposed to make an impact. Instead of being mad at the person because they did some things to us on the job, we need to be more spiritual and focus on the witness, right? Isn't that right? So then we pray with that person, and then their prayer gets answered because they're in agreement with you, you're in agreement with them, you're displaying the character of God with them, by not holding unforgiveness against them, being kind to them, being compassionate on them for their troubles, their problems, right? And then when it happens, we have made a witness, right? Let's look at the second verse again. Acts, yeah. Standing there with them was the healed man, and there was nothing further they could say. So my point is, when we affect people, because we're being affected by fasting and praying, there's nothing that person can say anymore. Because you've helped them, and they've seen They don't really understand it, but they'll see by the results of their prayer that you pray with them, they'll be able to see that you must have been with somebody. And then, but we tell them, you tell them, yeah, I've been with Jesus. You know, the gentleman who wrote this book, he started out in the music business. And he went on a vacation, and when he came back, he was going to sign a contract, right, for a music contract. But he had an encounter. Somebody say an encounter. He had an encounter with the Lord Jesus. Changed his whole attitude, right? And this was a big contract. And even though he was disappointed that he wasn't going to sign the contract, he was excited about his experience of spending time with the Lord. And he told the Lord, he said, Lord, you know, I'll do it because I love you and I want to obey you. He said, but what do I tell them? He said, tell them that you have seen my face. Well, I forgot the second part. That you've seen my face and you'll never be the same again. I thought that was like, oh, Jesus. So he had an experience because he was determined that he was going to spend time with the Lord on this vacation. And so that changed his life forever and caused him to write this book, and he writes it very simply. But, I mean, that really got me. You tell them, and they were secular people, I believe. He said, what's my answer? Well, if you not sign the contract, tell them you've seen my face, right? And that you'll never be the same again. And that was the truth. Amen? So these men, these council people, these head honchos and leaders of the city, they saw that Peter, who was it, Peter and John, saw that Peter and John saw that they were normal men. They weren't educated. They weren't all dressed up in religious stuff. They saw the power of God. They saw the effect of God, of being a Christian. Amen? And they could not deny the results. So as we fast and pray, we want to get to a place where people can see that we've been with the Lord and that they cannot deny that we've been with the Lord. Amen? I still have a long way to go, right? God has changed me and affected my life, but I still have a long way to go. Amen? But I thank God for the progress that I've made. I can't take credit for myself. I can't take credit myself because it's been Him. Amen? And it's been by His power. Can you agree? So we want to spend time in the Lord's presence, starve our fleshly desires, amen, and we want to be known for spending time with the Lord, spending time in His presence, and the way that we spend time in His presence is in prayer and communicating with Him, amen, for taking the time to spend time in the Lord's presence. Matthew 5 and verse 6, let's look at that real quick. Matthew 5 and 6. Praise the Lord. Again, I'm trying to encourage you and, you know, because we have two more weeks. If anything, we want to make sure we get some momentum, right? Okay, this first week we've been, you know, feeling things out, you know, figuring out how we're going to, you know, make meals or, you know, whatever, how we're going to manage our day spiritually. But we've got 14 more days. So we want it to be as beneficial as possible. Do you agree? It says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. So while we're praying and fasting, since we've taken our focus off of the natural things, again, I think last week I said, we don't want our bodies to boss us around. We don't want this flesh, this nature that's still stuck to us, the nature that's still with us, the flesh nature, is still with us. it won't be saved until we get resurrected bodies. And so we always have to deal with the flesh nature, what it smells, what it wants to taste, what it wants to feel, you know, all the senses that go along with the body. We don't want all that stuff to run our lives. That's like low level, right? So so the Bible says, the scripture says there that those that hunger and thirst for what? For righteousness will be filled. So just like we eat natural food, God wants, or hunger for natural food, our spirit man eats the word of God. Our spirit man accepts the presence of God, and I'm going to say absorbs the presence of God, but we become like him. But we have to hunger and thirst after righteousness. And it says, when we do that, we will be filled. I look at that as saying, when we hunger and thirst after righteousness, we will be satisfied. We think we're satisfied when we have a Big Mac and a big supersize. But God wants us to be filled with himself. He wants us to be filled with his presence. And so hungering and thirsting after God and his presence is way better. Somebody say way better than being filled with food and things and stuff. Amen? And all kinds of activities. Because we want to spend our time with eternal things. Let's look at John 15. John 15, verses 4 through 8, but we might stop. Prior to that, I'll let y'all know. John 15, 4 through 8. Y'all get me right now? Praise the Lord. So, what I'm saying is, you know, purpose to do more spiritually. Abide in me and I in you. Who's this speaking? Jesus. Abide in me. Some translations say, remain in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Verse 5. I am the vine. You are the branches. Everybody knows, if you know a little bit, got a tenth of a green thumb, you know that the flower, the leaves, and the branches of a plant or a tree have to be attached to the tree, because it's the tree, the trunk, the main vine that gives nourishment to the fruit. Jesus is telling us here, he's making it clear. He says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides, remains in me, and I in him, bears much fruit. For without me, come on, read this with me. For without me, you can do nothing. So we can't bear fruit, at least not fruit that matters, not spiritual fruit, not eternal fruit, unless we're connected and that we abide in God. Now, the author of the book, and I'll just refer to him back and forth, but he changed the word abide to consistent, to being consistent, right? So Jesus is saying, you have to abide in me and still abide in me. So abiding in him comes from consistent fellowship with God, comes from consistently reading the word of God. You know, when people give you a bouquet, right? The flower lives, what, for a week? They live for a week. So for a week, well, maybe 3 days, they look like they're still alive. But they've been dying since they've been cut off the branch. Isn't that right? So you and I, we can't be fooled. We can't abide in Christ for 21 days, and then for the rest of the year, we're not abiding in Christ. How many of you know Christians? It's the same thing with Christians. You'll see Christians that used to go to church, they used to be faithful, they used to do all the things that God says in his word, or at least purposing to do that, and now they're somewhere solo. And the scary part is they don't realize as soon as they disconnect, not only do they disconnect from their church, they've disconnected from God. And they don't even realize that they are shriveling up because they have disconnected from the vine. But you can't tell right away. And sometimes you can't tell them nothing. Because, you know, the enemy, he'll wait. As a matter of fact, he'll help you. He'll help you disconnect yourself. He'll make sure nothing bad happens in your life for a long time. Why? So that you don't make the connection. But he's coming. he's going to get you because we opened the door. We opened the door to him, right? It's not God's fault. God's not going to reach down his big hand and pull somebody, you know, out of a situation they shouldn't be in and put you back in church. No, we have to do that. So Jesus said, you abide in me, and I abide in you, right? And you can ask what you will, and it will be done for you. So if his word stays in us, if Jesus stays in us, if we spend time with him, we know what to ask for. We know what not to ask for. And when we find out what the word of God says, when we ask for something, it's going to be according to his will. And when we ask him things for things that are according to his will, like we can say based on that song, Lord, you dress the lilies with beauty and splendor. I know I shouldn't. That means I shouldn't have to worry about what I'm going to wear. And even if that means somebody that you know or don't know backs up a U-Haul to your driveway and say, here, I lost weight. Here's my whole closet full of clothes. You know, we can't put limitations on God. We can't figure out, and it's not our job to figure out how he's going to take care of us. That's not our job. Tell the person next to you, it's not your job to figure out how God is going to take care of you. All we need to know is that he's going to do it when we need it. If we're not worrying, if we're abiding in him, if we're staying connected to him, amen? And like Colossians 1:4 says, if we've allowed our entire human personality to trust in God, amen? And then that way we know that all of our needs are met according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Y'all hear me? So we have to be consistent. We have to, again, 21 days, it doesn't stop here. We have to keep it up. Year after year, month after month, we abide in the vine, else we will be separated from our nourishment. With that in mind, let's look at Psalm 1, 1 through 3, and I'll stop there. Amen? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I did want to share something. Matthew 26:41, and then we'll go to Psalm 1. I'd shared this on the prayer call. Read this with me. It says, watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. That's why we're fasting and praying. Because the flesh, it knows how to do what it does. But we have to make sure we're in the spirit so that we can do the right thing. Because the flesh is weak. It wants to do what it wants to do. But the point I wanted to make is that word temptation, it can mean a test. It can mean a trial. But the word jumped out, the definition of that word temptation, it means an experiment. And so Jesus said, you need to watch and pray so that you don't enter into a time of being the devil's experiment. So he says, you got to watch and pray. You got to pray that you don't enter into it. It's going to be presented to you. You're going to be tempted. But when we pray, when we watch, when we're watchful, when we're, paying attention, you know, we got to be paying attention. I was going to share something, but I don't think that's appropriate. how you might be wearing something and let's say your robe ties, and all of a sudden you find the tie was loose, and now it's in the dishwater, you know. So it made me think, man, we got to watch everything. We got to keep our eyes on stuff and pay attention to what's going on around us so that we don't get tricked into doing what the enemy wants us to do. So he says, you got to watch and pray, not that temptation won't come, but we don't want to enter into it. How many of you want to be the devil's experiment? Oh, he's a great experimenter. Let me see how much she can take. Let me see how long she can be sick. Let me see if he just goes ahead and dies. Let me see what happens when I try to mess with their money. You know, so we have to watch and pray so that we are up to par, right, spiritually, so that we can avoid temptation. Amen? Praise the Lord. So that's why we want to fast and pray, right? We don't want to be the devil's experiment. Amen? I know I don't want to be. Let's look at Psalm 1:1-3, and then we'll end. Praise the Lord. So I'm sharing with you basically the importance of what season we're in. Amen? Tell the person next to you, say, we're praying and fasting, right? I know you won't forget, but I like to keep reminding myself what the purpose is so that I stay focused. Amen? So that I don't get distracted, right? I know yesterday I was distracted and I found out, man, I didn't take communion yesterday. So, we get distracted and then we forget things. Praise the Lord. All right, let's read Psalm 1, verses 1-3. And then I'm going to share what the gentleman shared in the book, okay? Blessed is the man. What's that word blessed mean? Blessed, happy, fortunate, empowered to prosper, and to be envied is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. During this time of prayer and fasting, we're going to start, you know, making some decisions, maybe about some friends, you know, people in our lives that are a 365-day-a-year distraction, who don't mean us any good. I'm serious. You know, even relatives. Sometimes people are so faithful to their relatives, but the relatives aren't faithful to you. Amen? They don't want to see, you know, just because somebody's related to you, got your blood, doesn't mean they can't be jealous of you or that they can't want you to fail. It's sad to say, but that's just the way it is. So we have to separate ourselves from these people. I didn't say we stop loving them, you know, but we don't hang out with them. Amen? We can go to Thanksgiving, but we don't hang out with them. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season. Tell somebody, we are supposed to be bearing fruit. Amen? Because we're attached to the vine, who is Jesus Christ. So we're supposed to, you know, we're supposed to be growing in the fruit of the Spirit. We're supposed to be developing as we're baptized in the Holy Ghost, growing fruit and growing in the gifts of the Spirit. Amen? But that means we have to be connected to the Spirit. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither. Now, this is telling us what God wants for us and how we can be when we abide in him. Whose leaf also shall not wither. That means we will not die. What we do will not fail. Amen? Because we're attached with God. Whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. I'm going to share some things that he says here for these verses. He said, this scripture captures the understanding about consistency and whom you spend your time with. Delighting in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. This doesn't mean you read the Bible all day and night and cease spending time with your family and your calling. It means you pray and study the scriptures in a consistent, scheduled, and routine way. Amen? And it says that somebody said that means me. I will be like a tree firmly planted. Somebody say, I'm not floating off nowhere. Nobody's going to run me over, pull me out, right? I'm going to be like a tree firmly planted by the streams of water. He says here, when we remain consistent with God, we are like a tree firmly planted, which enables us to weather the storms. When trouble makes a person easily moved, let me read that again. When trouble makes a person easily moved, you can tell that they are not firmly planted. Amen? So that's why we have to abide in Jesus. So that, just like the story about the house that was built on the sand versus the house that was built on a rock. The same storm comes, but one house gets torn down while the other one remains standing. And that's what he's saying. So, again, we have to abide in Jesus. We have to spend time with him, not just one day or 2 days or 21 days. We have to spend time with him 366 when it's leap year. We have to spend time with the Lord. Amen? Remember, we want people to see that we have been with the Lord. Amen? Say, in Jesus' name, people are going to see that I've spent time with the Lord. I thought this was nice. I'm going to really read this. It says, which yields its fruit in its season. It says, the scripture promises that not only will you discern the seasons of your life, but you will also actively know what to do in those seasons. Doing the right thing in the proper time is how you grow fruit in season. Amen? He says, you may be trying to produce a ministry when it's time to isolate, pray, and grow. When you do things out of season, they will not be successful. It's like eating a banana when it's green instead of yellow. You can eat it, but it won't taste that great. It's still a banana that you're eating, but in the wrong season for eating it. When God is calling you to do something in a particular season, you will grow the fruit accordingly, whether it's for ministry, marriage, a business, or whatever else God has planned, the right fruit will grow. And it made me think of myself, and I've thought this over the years. Also, you all know I'm believing God to remarry. But there have been times when I thought to myself, because I want to make sure nobody can move me. So I have to make sure that I remarry in the right season, because I want to make sure I'm stuck, cemented in the vine, because I don't want anybody or any relationship, because I know how to be married. I know how to submit to a husband, but it's got to be the right situation, right? So I have to make sure that I'm not just going to go like this to him and just forget about all that God has told me and shown me, right, and imparted to me. So I realize that I've still got a little ways to go to make sure I'm totally anchored in the Lord, and that nobody and no relationship can move me from that position. Can you say amen? Amen? So things might be taking a while. Let me read one more thing. He encourages us that we have to be patient, right? Because he says when prayer feels challenging, that means it's working and accomplishing something. If you don't feel the burn of the flesh, it's not working. Amen? And then he also said, that's not what I really wanted to say. Embrace your trials and suffering as fuel for prayer and relationship with God. I'm going to read that again. Embrace your trials. Well, didn't we sing a song? It says something about whatever. Trials. it was something good. Jireh, you are enough. With every circumstance. Okay. He's still our provider. But he says, embrace your trials and suffering as fuel for prayer and relationship with God. In other words, instead of us being spoiled brats, well, things aren't working the way I thought they're going to work. God's not working as fast as I thought he's going to work. And then we just give up. We just stop praying. We ain't going to get nothing. Nothing. God will watch us be stuck. Amen? But it's in our hands. He says, I'm not suggesting you embrace attacks from the enemy, thinking the attack moves you into a place of martyrdom, which in turn pleases God. This key addresses situations God allows you to go through for learning and growing purposes. See, we think because we're grown physically that we're grown spiritually. Tell somebody, don't get it twisted. So God is always working on us for something. And I want to say one of the steps when we spend time with God, ask him questions. When you spend time, how many of you don't like to hear something bad about yourself, right? Or you don't like criticism or something. But when we spend time in God's presence, we have to ask him, God, what am I doing? What is in me that is not like you? And it could be a good thing. You could be taking good care of your family, but there's something that you're leaving out. Maybe you're being overly good to your family and neglecting your relationship with God. We can still take care of our families, right? But we have to focus on our relationship with God. So we want to ask God questions. He so lovingly chastises us, but his words bring healing at the same time, you know. But if we ask him, he will tell us. And the sooner the better. The sooner the better. Because we all want to get to a place, I believe, in your heart of hearts, we all want to get to a place where God can use us. Amen? Because he wants to. We can say he needs to. If we were born on purpose, we have to believe that God has things for us to do, right? Good things. But it means we have to grow. We have to change, right? We have to exhibit the fruits of the Spirit so that God can use us. So don't take your trial as something negative. This key addresses situations God allows you to go through for learning and growing purposes. Remain content throughout the process. The things God has for you are intended to work for your good, bringing you closer to him and bringing you to your knees. Amen. Praise the Lord. Don't let tribulations harden your heart. Don't raise your hand. How many of you that's happened to you? tribulations, hard times have hardened your heart, and now you hardly pray. But just let God work on you. Amen? And work on us. Praise the Lord. Let's use this time. Let's not let it go to waste. Amen? Let's not let this go to waste. And we're all participating. We all have something that we need that needs to be fixed or tweaked. Maybe some of you, the good wrong thing that you're doing is you don't treat yourself good enough. You treat everybody else good, but you don't treat yourself. I just read, it says self-care doesn't mean you're selfish. And I had heard that a while back, but I was like, you know what? That's good. Self-care is not selfishness, right? You need to take care of yourself. You need to treat yourself good. Amen? Because God wants to treat you good. Amen? Praise the Lord. It's not a bad thing. Hallelujah. All right, y'all get anything out of this? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, he's got a chapter in here about being baptized in the Holy Ghost. I told you during the fast, especially every Sunday, I would ask if there's anyone. You need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You need the Holy Spirit. You need all of him. You need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I heard someone once say, when you get born again, and this isn't like scripture, letter line by line. But when you get born again, you get the Holy Spirit, which takes care of you. But when you get filled with the Holy Spirit, you can take care of other people, right? And then that's when we can start flowing in the gifts of the Spirit, right? But not until we're filled with the Holy Ghost. So we want all the Holy Ghost we can get. So I'm inviting anyone today, if you've never been baptized with the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, your private prayer language, where the devil, we're praying in code. He doesn't know what we're praying. So when he doesn't know what we're praying, he can't interfere in what God is doing. And so I want to encourage you today, anyone here today, and you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, I'll lay hands on you. It's very simple. I lay hands on you. You receive the baptism with the Holy Spirit by faith, taking all your human personality and trusting that God is going to give you the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's not going to make you fall out. The Holy Spirit's not going to take you over. This is something, the Holy Spirit, we receive the infilling by faith. Amen? Is there anybody today? Anybody? You want to be baptized in the Holy Ghost? It's going to make your 14 days that much more powerful. Anybody? Anyone? Anyone? You go ahead, girl. Come on. Come on. Somebody else. Come on. Come on. Somebody else needs the infilling the Holy Ghost. You know you need all the help you can get, right? I need all the help I can get. And the Holy Spirit is the one that's going to help you. Amen. Here's somebody else. It's nothing to be afraid of. He's not going to take you over. He's just going to fill you up and give you a prayer language. And so when I lay hands on you, don't speak English anymore. When you say, I receive the Holy Spirit, okay? After I say, receive the Holy Spirit, you say, I receive the Holy Spirit by faith. Then don't speak any English. You speak the language that you hear, amen, in your heart. And mine sounds like this. It doesn't always sound exactly the same. It depends on what you're praying, how you're praying, whether you're interceding for somebody or you're just praying for yourself, or it can sound a little different, okay? So the Bible way is I lay hands on you as the minister, and Heavenly Father, I pray that your daughter, you're saved, right? Okay. I pray that your daughter receive the infilling of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues, her own prayer language. receive in Jesus' name. And to help you pray, you can inhale, and then as you speak out, you can let the air out. It's coming from your belly, is what the scripture says. So just, you can have your little private time right here. But you have to move your lips, you have to move your tongue, and your mouth. The Holy Ghost isn't going to come and make you go like this. You have to move your mouth.
Can I say it privately? Huh? Can I say it privately?
Yes, but you need to say it some so that you can hear yourself. You know what I mean? You don't have to say it loud. I just want to make sure before you leave. Because if you don't do it here, we'll help you back there if you feel more private. Okay. All right. Okay. So she's going to want help. Are you going to need help? Say no. She said, I don't know. Heavenly Father, I lay hands on your daughter right now to receive the infilling of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, her own prayer language. In Jesus' name, receive in Jesus' name. Okay, now don't talk English. Just go speak any words that you hear. It might come from down here, or the words can be in your head. So, move your, yep, you gotta move your lips. Like you received. How about you? You think you received? Believe you received? Yay! Sure, it sure looks like it. So the more you move your lips, the more the words will come out. So don't have paralyzed lips. Move your lips. You'll be saying some S's and V's, B's, all letters. You want them to confirm back there? You're fine? Yay! You're welcome. So make sure you pray in the Holy Ghost anywhere, in your car, while you're ironing, anywhere. You don't have to be on your knees or in your prayer closet, as they say. Just pray anytime. You're going to need it in the supermarket sometime, right? Somebody messing with you. You say, Shambaka City, you know. All right?
Thank you.
You're welcome. Yay. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Who's that? Who? Minister Allen. Altar call. All right. I'm just the pastor. I don't know what's going on. Just kidding. Well, with every head bowed, every eye closed, I know those two precious people, they received the infilling of the Holy Ghost. I want to make sure that you have made Jesus the Lord of your life. We're still in January 2026. You want to start the year with the Lord. Amen? So if you're in agreement with that and you want to make Jesus the Lord of your life, I want you to just repeat this simple prayer. Everybody, you can repeat this prayer. And if you, as you pray this prayer with your mouth and believe it in your heart by simple childlike faith, you will be born again. Amen? So repeat this after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe that I am a sinner. I also believe that I need a Savior. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross for my sins. I also believe that God the Father did not leave you in hell and death, but he raised you from the dead to live forever so that I could receive you as Lord and live forever with you. Jesus, I ask you now to come into my heart. Come into my life. Be my Lord. Be my Savior and be my Master. Say, Lord Jesus, take my life. I give you my life. Do something good with it. I thank you, Lord Jesus. Today, I accept you as Lord. I am born again, a child of God, sanctified, righteous, in Jesus' name. Somebody say amen. If you pray that prayer for the very first time, perhaps somebody's here, you prayed that for the very first time. If you just raise your hand, I don't have to call you up, but we do want to give you some information and pray with you if you want prayer. Anybody? Anyone? Anyone? Praise God. Praise the Lord. We're so excited for you. The best thing you could ever do. Amen. So she's going to give you some information, give you a packet. And if you want prayer, we prefer to pray for you back there instead of at your seat. So, all right, make sure we don't lose her in the mix. All right, Minister Allen's going to lead us in worshiping the Lord with our tithes and offerings. Let's give him a hand.
Praise God. I know you got something out of that message there, man. That was a powerful message, Pastor. A lot of nuggets. You know, and when, you know, when you're fast, I don't know about you, but, you know, when I'm fasting, I'm just in a different position. Just, you know, the scripture says, be still and know that I am God. So, you know, while you're speaking, Pastor, you're just reflecting and contemplating and just all different things and parts of your life are just passing before your mind. So that might be why most of us are kind of quiet today, because we're in that fasting mode and, you know, we're just receiving the word. Praise God. But that was a powerful word. And, you know, it made me think about Haggai 1, verse 5, 6, and 7. And it says, now, therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much and bring in little. You eat, but you have not enough. You drink, but you are not filled with drink. You clothe, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it in a bag, guess what? Withholds. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. So here in this passage of scripture, God is speaking to his people. They're working hard, earning money, but it's not enough. Why? You know, like Pastor was saying towards the end of her message, when things are not going quite right, we have to ask ourselves, and hopefully that's what we're doing during the fast, we have to ask ourselves, Lord, why isn't this working? Or do you think your present life is just enough? Is that all the God there is with what you're experiencing right now in your life? Is God more than that? If he is more than that, then we need to ask him, or we need to ask him, Lord, what else can we do in our lives? How do we need to consider our ways, what we think about, what we talk about, what we pray about, how we love others, how we get upset with others, what words we speak, what we look at? We have to consider all the ways of our life, because we don't want to waste our effort. We don't want to waste our time. So God is not always after your money. And even though we do this every week, we do an offering. We're not after your money. One thing I love about this church is that we're not trying to get you to give under pressure, but we want you to give as God is leading you. And one of the best ways that you give with God leading you is that when you put God first in your life, then the moment that you do that, then God says, guess what? I'm with you. That's what giving does. And that's what they didn't do in the book of Haggai. They were consumed with their house. They were consumed with their priorities. They were consumed with their way of doing business. They were consumed with serving their families, meeting their needs. But then they weren't consumed with putting God's things or God's house first. So then God says, hey, this is a word. Consider your ways. So I just want you to take a moment as we prepare to give on today. And since this is the month that we're fasting, is to continue to consider your ways as it pertains to giving and sowing seed. Because each week we talk about how that we're going to do our confession that it's not our jobs, nor our bank accounts. Then this part here, nor the government. But some of us really think that government cheese is our source. And if we're not getting it like we should, guess what? We got a problem with whoever is in office. But those things are not our source. And man, when I came here, we were singing that song that, how much more? Because he's what? He's Jehovah Jireh. And then we learned on the day, and then I'm closing with this part, is that this is how we want to respond in faith. With the leaning of our entire personality, our spirit, our mind, our souls, and our bodies on him in what? Absolute trust and confidence in his power, in his goodness, in his wisdom, and in his ability to supply our every need, because he truly is what? Jehovah Jireh. Praise God. Please pay attention to our monitors as you prepare to give.
Here at Living Faith, we have made giving easy by using electronic options as much as possible. You can text to give by texting LFCCNJ to 77977. You can give once or set up as a recurring gift. Just enter in your details, confirm your gift, and you're done. You can give through our LFCCNJ Church app. This method will look similar to text to give. The iOS version of the app can be downloaded at the App Store, or you can get the Android version on Google Play. You can also give online at lfccnj.com/giving. If these options are not possible, you can obtain a pink envelope and deposit it as you leave. We thank you again for joining us today. God bless you.
Praise God. Is everybody prepared to give? Let us stand and do our confession. Praise God. All right, ready? Read. We decree that because we are tithers, we receive the promise of the Spirit that protects those who tithe and give offerings. As a household, we are committed to tithe and give into the Lord's work. Therefore, we claim tithers' rights. That means no devourer, destroyer, waster, plunderer, or pillager can rob from us in Jesus' name. They cannot steal our blessing or fruitful harvest. They cannot steal from our home, businesses, or from any of our loved ones. The destroyer can't strip away our heritage or harm our children. We stand in the tither's blessing, which promises that the Lord will rebuke the evil one on our behalf. We stand in the tither's blessing, that the Lord will open heaven's treasure and pour out blessings we do not have room enough to receive. We stand confident that the tithe is raising a standard against every demonic plot and attack. We have faith that as Jesus, our Lord and eternal high priest, stands in heaven receiving our tithe, we are under the covenant of his blessing. We prophesy that the promise to the tither rests upon our families in Jesus' name, according to Malachi 3, verse 11, Hebrews 7 and 8. Amen. Father God, we just thank you and we praise you, Lord God, that we can totally depend and trust in you. I thank you that you are with us, Lord God. And if God be for us, who can be against us? So, Father God, as we tithe, as we sow, as we give, Lord, not only our finances, but our time and our resources, and we sow into your house, I thank you that you will in turn bless our house, Lord God. We thank you, Father God, that no weapon that is ever, never, ever formed against us will never, ever prosper in the name of Jesus. And because you are with us, Lord God, and we are being led by your Spirit, I thank you that we are always in the right place at the right time, with seed in our hand, Lord God, to be a blessing. So we thank you, Lord God, that we're blessed going in and we're blessed going out. And people will know that God is with us. So we give you all the praise, all the glory, and the honor. And somebody said, amen.
Praise God. We do have a few hot topics for you, but in the meantime, video, would you run the video announcements, please?
You are invited to the Healthy Lifestyles Workshop Series as part of our 21 days of prayer and fasting, from which will run from January 5th to 25th. Join us on each of the three Saturdays during this time as we host free workshops designed to help us take dominion in every area of your life. We will discuss understanding the foods we consume and how they are affecting our bodies, practical ways to renew your mind and strengthen your body for the new year ahead, God's principles for financial stewardship and how to align your finances with His purposes for your life. Explore how to build strong relationships and deepen your spiritual walk with God, fostering community and growth, the importance of daily movement and relaxation, and more. Again, that will be January 10th, 17th, and 24th at 10 a.m. till noon. Please register at lfccnj.com or scan the code on the screen. Let's take dominion in 2026 by strengthening our bodies, minds, finances, and relationships. Don't miss out. Mark your calendars.
Amen. I understand that you guys had an amazing time yesterday and learned some good information. Praise God. Don't forget to come out. We do know that our 21-day church fast is going on. If you have not begun or if you've fallen off, get back up. It's no big deal. God will forgive you and just keep it moving, like, and He'll credit it like you did the entire 21 days. So join in. We still have fasting brochures in the lobby area. And then don't forget, on Wednesday nights during the fast, we are having a corporate-wide prayer through Zoom. And that's from 7:30 to 8:30. Last Wednesday was amazing. And we also have Saturday morning prayer in person from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. And again, just the healthy workshops that you just saw advertised. If you've moved in the past year, please make sure that either you update the offering envelope that you use, or the pink envelope that you use, or you can even send some information to the church giving them your new email. And then lastly, in the event of impending weather alerts, please note that we will have information available on various platforms, our website, lfccnj.com, our social media platforms, Instagram and Facebook, and also you can go to the church app and download it from the App Store, which is the letters LFCCNJ, and or you can text START to numbers 84477, and you will get our notifications. Amen. Let's welcome back our pastor.
Thank you, Minister Sheila. All right, I only have two things. One thing. Oh, I thought you sound like you're getting ready to play Happy Birthday or something. Praise the Lord. I wanted to open the door to the church. If you've been coming to Living Faith and you believe the Lord is telling you this is home, so we want to receive anybody into our church family. So if that's you, anybody here, you want to make Living Faith your church home, you can just raise your hand. Hallelujah. We won't embarrass you or anything. We just want to acknowledge you. Oh, I think he's just getting up. All right. We got a winner. Where? Oh, right here. As I said last time, go ahead, girl. Get what you got to get. So we at least want to know your name. If you don't want to, can you come up? You mind coming up, giving us your name? We need to know who you are. The mic's on. She looks pretty in her pink.
Thank you.
So what's your name?
My name is Michelle.
Michelle. What's your last name, Michelle?
Michelle Nieves. Nieves.
Nieves.
Yes.
Michelle
snow
Nieves.
Snow in Spanish.
Huh?
It's snow in English.
Oh, okay.
Well, snow right. Is Spanish.
Michelle, no. So how long you been coming to Living Faith?
I just came today for the first
just
time.
Just today?
Yeah.
And you're sure you want to join?
Yes.
You're positive? Okay, good. All right.
Yes.
Amen.
My heart is saying yes.
I don't want you to disappoint me and disappear.
No. My heart is saying yes.
Praise God. Well, we make a promise, which we have it in a while, but it still goes. We promise if you come to every service that you can, participate in whatever we have, within 1 year's time, your life will never be the same. Amen? So make yourself at home. Y'all be friendly to Michelle and, you know, make her feel at home, okay?
Thank you.
Praise God. Now, I'll hug you again for everybody.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, everyone. Thank you.
And we've got some, Yvette, Michelle, if you don't mind, can you follow Yvette? She's got information for you. They want to share some things with you. Let's give Michelle a hand. Praise the Lord. After we dismiss, our elders and ministers will be up here to pray with you. If you need agreement in prayer, God says if you agree, you're in harmony, y'all praying about the same thing, that if it's just two people, that God is in the midst and he will answer. Amen? Praise God. No matter how hard it is. Amen? Thank God we don't have to do it. Yes? First time attenders. Michelle was. Any other first-time attenders? Hi, y'all. I don't know why you look familiar, but hi. Welcome to Living Faith. We're so glad you came. Do you know anybody, any members? Is that why you came? You a drive-by? Website? Website? Yeah, make them feel at home. Amen. We're so glad you came to worship God with us today. And of course, you are welcome back anytime. Come back as much as you like. Amen. All right. God bless you. Let's give them another hand. Say, welcome to Living Faith. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, y'all. We're going to dismiss. Praise the Lord. I pray much progress in your prayer and fasting. Amen. I pray that God's voice becomes so clear to you in these next 14 days, and that your bodies even be healed from things that you're not eating. And God wants to do things in your life and in your body and in your mind. So Heavenly Father, we just thank you and we praise you. Father, we have faith. We put out our faith. We release our faith that you are going to do something in us in these next 14 days. Father, we are taking you seriously. We take this corporate fast seriously. We are participating fully, and we fully expect to see results. We believe that we are not fasting and praying for nothing, but something good is going to happen in our lives, in our bodies, in our minds, in our finances, in our family, in our business, on our jobs. Something good is going to happen because you're good. So, Father, we declare and we decree in agreement with you that we are blessed, happy, fortunate, empowered to prosper, and to be envied. If you're in agreement with that, say, I'm blessed.